The KZM file doesn't open up.
Okay, it is 5 o'clock p.m. on Tuesday, March 10th, 2026. We'll call the Board of Works and Safety meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Weigold?
Here.
Smith?
Here.
Daniel?
Here. In front of you are the minutes from our last meeting on February 24th. Were there any changes or corrections? Hearing none, I'll make a motion. We approve the minutes as presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up, we have an encouragement agreement for 608 Fairview Court. I don't see anybody here for that. All right, Joanne, you're not here for that, I figured. And then encouragement agreement for 782 West Business 30. This one we actually did take into consideration last time at the last meeting. And since then, Kelly has met with the Goldwoods and... you guys got basically everything you think worked out. You feel comfortable with the spacing, and he may be doing something different, but if it changes, he'd have to come back here anyway. So as the current plan is, you feel comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we had left it, was that Kelly was going to meet with them on that home build, if you will. And so, okay, then I will make a motion that we approve the encroachment agreement for 782 West Business 30 as presented.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show with the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is the engineering services agreement approval for Donahue. Mike?
This is going to be for the last phase of our SCADA project.
Will you remind the public and the board what the SCADA project is?
Several years ago, the radios, the telemetry system that we had in there, all the radios went outdated. They no longer were going to be supported, or no spare parts or anything like that. So in the first phase we went through, we took out 11 stations, changed out the radios to a new radio system, and then put those radios in storage for the remainder station. So we would have spares or parts or anything to do that. This is the last phase of converting that over to the new system, just basically updating panels and then also updating the SCADA system to a newer technology.
Okay. So this agreement with Donahue is a lump sum, I will say not to exceed, I'm assuming.
Yes.
$368. And this will complete all of this.
Complete the project.
All of the SCADA work. Yes. Okay. Questions of Mike? Is this basically the biggest project you have scheduled for this year?
Yes.
Financially?
Yes.
Yes.
Actually,
that is good.
That's a good point.
Compared to last year, I guess. Okay. Any questions? Hearing none, I'll make a motion. We approve the engineering services agreement for the 2026 lift station control panel replacement project with Donahue in a lump sum not to exceed amount of $256,368 even.
Correct.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is the roof replacement on the water pollution control facility. Mike?
It was like I mentioned before, in November of last year when we had a large windstorm up there, it started to tear off the roof of the office building, and we've had several shingle roofs over the years. So this is a quote. I got some quotes here, or I shouldn't say I did. One of my guys got quotes. For a standing seam metal roof, instead of shingles, we're going to switch to a metal roof. And our highest quote is $51,700, and I forget how much the other one is. I got to look here. It is for $48,031.96. My recommendation is to go with Indiana Metal Roofing for a total of $36,452.
So I have two questions for you, Mike. The first one is, I see under Smith's quote, they have exposed fastener as an option. Is that basically just to redo what we have right now? Do you see what I'm saying?
No, exposed fastener. Is it, you'll see all the, everyone
that's
put in.
Or is that additional? I'm sorry. I'm trying to understand because there's a quote for exposed fastener and there's a quote for a standing seam. The exposed fastener is $26,000. The standing seam, which again, I know you're not going with Smith, or you're not suggesting that, but standing seam was $48,000. I'm trying to understand what the two different quotes are.
It's just overlapping metal on the first one, and they just run fasteners down through it to where on the second one, it actually, where they put them together,
okay,
they fit on top of each other, and what they call a standing seam.
Oh, okay.
You'll actually see more of a defined rough instead of just being like a flat metal.
I see what you're saying. Okay. Okay. And for, let me get there real quick. For Indiana Metal Roofing Systems, I'm assuming you've checked them out, make sure that they.
Yeah, we've done it. I mean, they all have complete tear off and inspection, and then replace anything that's happened to be. The one didn't have complete tear off in there. They just want to put down some type of a lamp over top of it. And this is, I know it has to be a complete tear off because of leaks that are shown inside the building over the years. So all of them is complete tear off. All of them have the snow and ice rails installed so we don't get our gutters ripped off our building.
Yep.
So yeah, they're all basically apples for apples.
Okay. Questions, Mike? Okay. Then I'll take a motion.
I know.
No, I'm sorry. Page 28 of your packet. Keep going.
I just had it scrolling down the other way.
Oh, no, you're right. Nope, keep going. No, you were the other way.
I got it.
Almost. Okay.
I'll make a motion to approve the roof, standing seam metal roof with, what was it, Hoosier? Just a second, I don't have the name of the company.
Indiana Metal Roofing Systems
for $36,452.
Motion seconded. Further discussion.
I just want to say in here, I see that they're cutting a 3-inch ridge cap along the office building.
Mm-hmm.
We already have vented ridge caps, so this price, it may actually be cheaper than this because they won't have to do that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Unless that's something different than doing a normal ridge cap. So.
Okay. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Okay. Next up, we have some street closure request here. First one is for a cleanup dumpster and trailers at 507 East Jackson Street. This appears like it may have started yesterday, but I'm not sure.
I believe so, yeah.
You did, yeah, so it's partial retroactive and partial going forward. Okay. Any questions regarding that? I'm assuming that's just in the. Do they have cones up? Did we take them cones?
I didn't take them cones.
Okay. No. They requested cones, so I just. But you're okay with them being along the street edge there?
Side.
Okay. Okay. Any other questions?
I'll go ahead and make a motion that we approve the street closure permit for 3926 to 323. 26, 507 East Jackson Street,
as
presented.
I second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion. All those in favor, show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is a street closing permit for 315 West Ellsworth Street. It appears that it's a moving pod putting in the street in the parking area, apparently. And they did ask for cones on this one as well. You have any?
I'll take them some cones, yeah.
Okay. This is for April, so you got a little time for that. So, questions regarding this one? Make a motion. We approve the street closing permit for 315 West Ellsworth Street from April 7th through April 10th as presented.
Okay.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor, show the usual sign. It is unanimous. Next up is the street closing permit fee discussion. We did have some conversation at the last meeting, and Leslie had asked us to think about it and, you know, consider maybe what options are on the table, if you will, for that. I will say that Councilman Adamson and I had a good conversation about public safety and ways in which we can maybe enhance public safety for those larger events. So I think, Gary, I don't know, I'm assuming that Ryan had talked to you a little bit as well. And the idea of, like, if we have events that they're expecting to have over a certain amount of people at one time. So if they're expecting to have over 200 people at one time or 250 people at one time, that we mandate that they effectively pay for two police officers to be down there, if you will, just from a crowd control standpoint and stuff. So I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good idea. The only thing I would like to do a little more research on the number of people.
Mm-hmm.
Or do we just say, if you're closing more than two blocks,
mm-hmm.
so if you're closing 100 South Chauncey and 100 East Van Buren or West Van Buren, then you have to hire security.
I would
do the little plus sign, what we call, like,
yeah.
from Mine to Main and the alley to Market.
Mm-hmm.
Then I still think either you still have the two there or possibly even three. It just
mm-hmm.
depends on what size of crowd you're going to have. Or, you know, and they kind of predict that. And I think they kind of know most of these venues. You know, it's a little bit different. Old Settlers, First Friday is different than Skeleton Fest
yeah.
or Prison Fest or something of that sort. So
yeah.
some of the logistics we have to work out. So I think it's a good idea to have some dedicated guys down
yeah.
there. Because our guys can be down there when they're not on a call, but if they get a call and then something happens downtown.
Well, I think it's a balancing act, right? Because if our police officers are down at those events, then they're not out in our neighborhoods.
Right.
They're not out on US 30
right.
and things like that, right? So I think it is a balancing act for that. I mean, you know, the reason I guess I was maybe leaning toward the population standpoint was just that you know, we have had events that have been in, let's say, the four blocks, right, north and south, east and west, and the plus sign, if you will, that have not had anywhere near that kind of population. And, you know, I know that we've tried to make a conscious effort this year so far in limiting that 200 block because of business owners who you know, it matters to them. It impacts their business. So I just say all that to say that, you know, I get kind of both sides of that for sure. I don't know. I'm still debating that in my own head, I will say, because I do think that there is reasonable, there's good reasons to have dedicated public safety individuals down there for events, especially if you have highly populated events. I don't know where you guys are on that. I know this is kind of coming out of the blue a little bit. And that's really not the main point of that. Yes, Chip?
Have we had issues before where we need to have dedicated?
I think the issue, so short answer is, I don't know that we've had issues per se.
No major issues. No.
Yes, but I think the challenge is, and where I think Councilman Adamson and I kind of struck a chord with each other was, the idea that as we grow as a community and we have more of those events where we're having 250, 300, 500, 700, 1,000 people down here at one time, that having the just every once in a while check-in of a police officer probably isn't sufficient in some way, shape, or form. So, yes.
Not to mention most of the communities that have had issues in the past never had a problem until it happened.
Yep.
So to go back and say in history we had an issue doesn't look forward to, it's not a matter of if.
Yeah, sure. Well, and the other thing we had conversations about, and I'm sorry that this is a one-on-one dialogue, I'm not meaning it to be that way, but the other thing we had a conversation about was, you know, concrete barriers, right? Like, again, all it takes is one person driving through a festival, driving through a carnival, driving through Skeleton Festival, whatever, to have problems, but we also have to make sure we keep fire lanes open. And so, like, again, those are just some random things we talked about in this sphere of influence, if you will. But go ahead, Tom.
Something to add to that, and when you say have we had a history of that, it was early 2000s we had a fire truck totaled by a drunk driver blocking for the parade. It was, I'm guessing 10, 15 years ago, there was two individuals headed southbound on Line Street. It was right after closing time for Old Settlers. Two individuals southbound on Line Street went through the street barricade, the wooden street barricade, struck one ride, and then T-boned into one of the main rides in the out in the area, in the, yeah, along Van Buren Street. My recollection is correct. They were even pinned in their vehicle. The ride was taken out of commission. If people would have been on that, those two rides that evening, there would have been an issue.
Yeah.
And those two rides took heavy damage. So.
Yeah. Just, yeah. So I indicated, but again, I come back to with those situations. Well, you know, in the parade, you know, part of the reason we use the fire truck is because it is kind of a concrete barrier, right? I mean, it's a big machine. But when you look at First Friday and you look at Old Settlers, you see a time where hundreds of people are downtown, and maybe, I don't know how many people are downtown on a regular First Friday, but I bet it's, I mean, it could be pushing 1,000 people, right? I mean, so I think there's something to be said. Now, that's not what the conversation here per se, but I do think it kind of comes into that permitting standpoint of if it's going to be over X, then whatever that X is.
Do we have concrete barriers?
No.
I was going to say,
I don't think so, do we? I don't think we have concrete barriers.
They're probably hard to slide out of the way when you want cars to get in and out of.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's the... with the barricades.
Yeah.
I mean, you got
people
that work at events trying to get in and out,
sure,
too.
And again, I mean, you know, the concrete barriers, that's something I think we're going to have to think about going into the future. But, you know, when it comes to the actual permitting of streets, when it comes to, you know, the idea of over X amount of people and you need to have police protection or whatever the case is, you know, I think last time we talked about the idea of having like a, I don't know, $25 fee per block of closure, if you will, or something like that, that would effectively compensate for some of our time and some of our materials and some of that stuff.
Honestly, the times have changed.
Sure.
The way things are today versus what they were 10 years ago, things, it's not a bad idea to have a public safety call.
Yeah.
There's so many things that can happen in today's world that, well, it's going to be a serial number happen here. Well, you know, it's possible.
Yeah.
It's very possible. You got some wagon will come, yep, in from out of town and does something stupid. I mean, you see that all the time on the national news. Or,
yep.
It's not even somebody local. It's somebody comes in outside and does something stupid. And, oh, I'm sorry, my son, my grandson says I can't see that word. But you can't control, you can't fix it. You know, but if we can have people, I don't think that's a bad idea.
Mm-hmm. I agree. The safety of the community comes first. I did have a question, though, like, if we were to require this, what kind of cost is it for an organization that would need to hire?
Well, what was charged in the past is $65 an hour per officer. That's
okay.
That's our standard fee, like wedding details, Walmart details, stuff like that.
And
we did have some event organizers did hire a couple of police officers, and that's what they paid.
Yeah, but I think
I want to make sure it wasn't some unreasonable cost.
Yeah.
But I think the safety of the community is worth that, mm-hmm, kind of fee.
Well, is that for an event, or is that for a year?
That was an hourly.
Well, First Fridays, if you do that, there, I mean, that'd be $25 per block. That would get expensive.
Well, and I think, you know, ultimately, though, First Friday did work out some kind of a deal with the clerk treasurer's office about compensating for especially the floral services, right? Which I think ends up being, I felt like it was $60 some bucks per, you know. So now theoretically, right, they're using 4-ish blocks, right? So it wouldn't be the 25 per block kind of thing, but yes.
Like some of the permits for, mm-hmm, other things that are going on, as you pointed out, the pop or for the season.
Yeah.
So I was going to say that's
kind of sure.
You know,
you know what? So that's where, again, not to belabor this conversation, but you know, I know that one thing that, again, Councilman Adamson said, I don't know why he put words in his mouth, but just the idea of, like, we don't put one police officer, guys, that we don't put one police officer out there by themselves at a time, that, you know, you have two, right? And so, you know, maybe, I don't know, for public safety purposes, maybe we work out effectively a discounted rate of some sort, right? Where they at least defray some of the costs that we have for that mandate, right? So maybe it's $100 for the two officers for, I don't know, 4 hours or something like that. I don't know. I don't know what it would be. I'm just throwing up numbers.
Right. Well, because everything else is like a one-time, once-a-year deal.
Yeah.
The first Friday is multiple. Yeah. I mean, multiple times. You know, just want to... Know, stick them with
Mm-hmm.
any financial cost to them is costs.
Sure, I get that.
So, yeah.
And again, I think, as I said last time, I think one of the challenges we have is that as the state legislature cuts the amount of revenue coming to the city, we have to figure out ways, not necessarily to just make up the revenue, but to make up the dollars we're expending, right? Because if we don't have that revenue, we can't pay for those things, which means we can't do the things we need to do, and so that is kind of one of those offsets. So, Joanne, we're talking about downtown, and here you are. Do you have thoughts and opinions that you would like to add?
I do.
Okay, come on up to the microphone.
Well, I don't think it's unreasonable to charge for police protection downtown on events, and I don't think it should necessarily be a deterrent for these event directors to host their events, because I think there's other places in the city that you can go to an event where maybe you don't have to have police protection out at Marsh's Park for an event, because you don't have the downtown streets or somebody driving through barricades or around barricades. So I feel like that's a good thing, okay, because it is expensive for the police department to man streets or just walk the streets for an event. And I don't think it's unreasonable for $25 per block either. Whether it be, maybe, I'm speaking because I am a downtown business owner. Am I open on Saturdays when these events are going on? No, I'm not. So it's kind of a double-edged sword here. Was I a race director for an event that closed a lot of streets downtown and not a lot of activity? Yes, I was. So I get it kind of from both sides, but I think some of these smaller events, if they're kind of crying over the $25 per block, and they're having 50 people come to their event, then just do it right here, you know, on South Chauncey, mm-hmm. one block, $25, you know. Or go to Marsh's Park or Eagle Park or Kids Dreamland, you know, DeVol Field. You know, there's tons of places the city has areas, some of these bigger parks that they could take their events to. They don't have to be downtown. You know, I'm hearing it from other business owners, and they're kind of wanting me to be the voice that it hurts their businesses. It hurts the restaurants. Some of these event directors feel like they're bringing people downtown, so they're bringing them downtown to shop and to eat at the restaurants, but then they're bringing in all the food trucks. And I am not talking about First Friday at all. Okay, I'm talking about Saturday events. So it does hurt them. Although the event directors, they just don't know that. You know, I didn't know that at first either when I, you know, when we first started Veterans Marathon 18 years ago. Of course, we don't bring in food trucks, but we do bring in free soup. But, you know, so I don't know. I think it's all good. I love the $25 thing. I think that's great. I'm glad that, you know, Gary's wanting to charge for police, or the city's wanting to charge for police protection. I don't think that's a bad thing, especially for the large events. And if the smaller events that are wanting to grow, I mean, who doesn't all want to be a First Friday event, right? That's mm-hmm. amazing. Mm-hmm. So that's a great example to work towards. But maybe don't do it downtown right now. Yeah. Maybe do it to where you outgrow. Yeah. elementary 1 mile.
Sure.
You know, we went to Marsh's Park for years.
Mm-hmm.
Outgrew it. Had to go to Indian Springs. So start small, grow your event, and start from there.
Are you open on Fridays during First Fridays?
Yes.
Okay. And do you find that that's beneficial for
yes,
you? Or
very
okay,
much so.
Very much so. Okay,
yeah,
good.
Well, I mean, I usually just stay open until 7. I mean, I get that crowd coming in.
Yes.
Once they're in, then not so much. But
yeah,
unless it's like raining or cold, then they come in and buy stuff.
Then they're looking for hoodies inside your business.
Yeah, exactly,
so.
Exactly. To watch that Mayor movie, you
yeah,
know.
Really?
So it's a good thing, yeah. I don't think any of us, I mean, maybe some of the restaurants, I can't really speak for them per se, about the food trucks on First Friday. I don't know. It's probably a love-hate thing, but retail-wise, we love First Fridays.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whether people are shopping or not, they're not probably going to buy a couch,
yeah,
but you know what? They might come back on Saturday and buy it.
Mm-hmm.
So they went in.
Yeah,
do they
if the street's open. If the street's open on Saturday.
Open.
Yes.
Yes. Just on a little side note, too, if none of this really materializes and the events downtown on Saturday continue like they are or have been in the future or in the past, I really feel like we need to work together do something about the no parking signs. Just
mm-hmm,
putting that out there in the public, it's such a huge deterrent. You know, I understand why they go up when they do. I get that. But the wording's got to be different.
Mm-hmm.
Bigger. So people don't just think the streets are closed.
Yep. I do think we have had conversations about that, Joe. And so
yeah,
hopefully that, yes.
That's my two cents.
And Joanne and I have had conversations about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay.
What?
And you and I have had conversations about the little
yes,
sticker
yes,
thing.
Yes, okay. I offered free charge to make those bigger. Whatever you guys need, but
great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank
appreciate
you for your perspective.
Yes.
Very
yeah,
helpful.
So, again, I don't know that we have to make a decision today, but I think that, I think, you know, we have had some conversation about revamping the actual street closure permit, and I think if we're going to have some of these things put into place, you know, whatever the number is or whatever the case is, that we need to put that in onto the permit. We need
mm-hmm,
to make sure it's clear of the communication that's happening with the downtown businesses. We need to make sure that we that it's really clear about the fact that, like, our preference is not to go through into that second, you know, that second block of West Van Buren unless there's truly a need for it, things like that. So.
Well, any road closure or vacancy.
Yes, that's fair.
Time from our department had to go check it out. You
mm-hmm,
know, it's just like even the simple ones that we had for a pod to be placed.
Oh, yeah.
You still have to have people check it out.
Yeah.
And that's taking time away from what they're normally doing.
Yeah.
And so it probably isn't a bad idea to say, I don't know what kind of fee, $25
yeah,
fee or whatever.
Yeah.
I know that's not still not paying for their hours of service, but you look at it all the time, say they put up barricades.
Mm.
Oh, good Lord.
Yeah.
I can't even fathom what somebody's trying to make.
Over the year, probably.
Yeah,
a lot
year,
more than
right,
you expect. Yeah.
Barricades up, take them down, put
the
them
signs,
back, and then have to bring them back
what,
up again.
All the good signs.
All the orange signs, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, yeah, so all that takes time, and yet we're giving that.
Yep.
Which is not a bad deal, but at the same time, now might be another bad time to try to get reimbursed
yeah,
for some of it.
Yeah, I'm in agreement. I think the $25 fee is
yeah,
a nice middle ground. It's not going to deter too many people,
mm-hmm,
but it also is going to.
So why don't I do this? How about I will try my best, although I don't think I'm going to be at the next. I may be at the next Board of Works meeting. I may not be at the next council meeting. But why don't I try hard to get with between Leslie and Gary and I. Work on some of that language or something like that that will bring that I can bring to the Board of Works to say, okay, here's kind of general tenants, what do you think? So
and would on that permit be the stipulations that we might be talking about police?
Right.
Like where it might say this is the number of people or whatever we decide, and would that same language be on that same street closure?
I think so.
Okay.
I think because if they're filling that out, we need to make sure that rule is clear. And I, honestly, I don't see it as being that different necessarily than the tent structure additional form that we have that's attached to that, right? Like, I do think that that's something that we just include that as a part of the overall conversation. So. Okay, so let's table that, and we can work through more of that at the hopefully the next meeting.
Sounds good.
Okay. Bills.
I make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $465,097.04 from the allowance of account payable vouchers dated March 10th, 2026 for checks.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I make a motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $257,841.09 from the allowance of accounts payable vouchers dated March 6, 2026 for EFT payments.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I make a motion to pay all accounts payable except overtime in the amount of $283,923.51 plus overtime in the amount of $10,661.83 for a total of $294,585.34 for the pay file ending February 20th, 2026.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous.
I make motion to pay all accounts payable in the amount of $1,777.97 from the allowance of accounts payable vouchers dated March 10th, 2026 for meter deposits and credits.
Second.
Motion seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor show by the usual sign. It is unanimous. Thank you. Department head report. Sean.
So Monday morning, 6:47 a.m., we had an incident at our west substation where a raccoon decided to enter the substation, climb up on top of the substation breaker. I have a great video of it if you'd like to see it, causing 1,500 outages. It lasted 32 minutes by the time all my guys were on their way to work anyway. So so by the time we had some issues with low batteries, not being able to, we had to manually flip some of the things back on, so it took a little longer than we had hoped, but it was only about half an hour and had everybody back on. I spent all week doing inspections, seeing what permanent damage it might have done. We've got some more insulation material coming. Trying to make sure this doesn't happen again. So that was a lot of fun. Good way to start the week after time change anyway. Our north substation is going to be down here in 2 weeks for testing. We're going to go through and do all the breaker test, substation, tap changer control testing. So same testing we did with the south sub earlier this year, or earlier last year. I did manage to make it to Washington, D.C.
Unlike some of us.
A list of some of the people we talked to, Representative Yacom, Senator Banks, Representative Sparks, Stutzman was awesome. He wasn't supposed to be there at all, but he snuck in and talked to us. Senator Young is always a good talk. he wants to locate all these data centers in the middle of the desert and just pipe all the data to us. Not a bad idea. Instead of putting them in our communities.
Yeah. How are we going to get water to cool everything in the desert?
He'll find a way.
Okay.
So, and like Mike, the maintenance facility roof is 30 years old. It's got leaks and things. So I've had companies out giving quotes on that. And all the guttering is also falling off. So we're getting quotes to replace all the guttering. I've contacted about the 6 different persons to try to replace some of our exterior man doors that are rusting out. I haven't had anybody call me back yet. It's a weird setup. It's kind of a cheaply made building. The bricks are not supported with any sort of beams over top of the doors. The door itself is holding the bricks up.
Okay.
So it's a difficult process to do that. So, hopefully we get somebody that wants to take that project on.
Yeah.
Other than that, we're just we got all the trucks fueled up and material on the trucks for the night. But just hope everything goes north. So
hopefully. North of this. Or stay west.
Yeah, or stay west. Either I don't think either.
Questions of Sean. Thank you.
Michael.
Got a report back from Peerless. They should have our fan back for the aeration tower next week. Also, we started looking for the lead in the system, and we've averaged about 9 homes a day.
Where we're finding lead lines?
And every one we've been to is lead.
Okay.
So far.
Oh, good. That's terrible.
So,
well, not that it's a... Okay, let me clarify. Not that it's terrible for the water or the users of that, but that we're going to have to replace those lines.
And like Chip said, we probably will not be able to get any...
We can get plumbing. It's just not going to be
loan.
Free plumbing.
That's what I mean.
It's not going to be free. It's going to cost us.
Yeah.
And I'm saying it's going to cost us a lot of money.
Well, sure.
Over 10 years.
This is that one of those lovely unfunded mandates from the federal government.
Yes.
Questions of Mike on that rosy report. Thank you. Chip?
So, Lori Chip and I are trying to wrap up phase 1A of Eagle Park. That was the skate park and the pickleball court. We're having some issues with acreaging, matching up of what was donated versus what the federal government has, so it's kind of a challenge. Also, I've been reporting on this for a while, not the railroad tracks. I will give you an update on that because it's still unholding. Trying to get appraisals for the jail, Smith Brothers, and parking lot at Washington Van Buren. There's only a few actual firms that do this, and I talk to them all the time, but I just don't get much out of them. So working on that. And then we also need that to liquidate the jail. Hopefully, we've got a couple people interested in the jail. Hopefully, it all happens. I'm not counting my eggs yet, and so we're going there. We've got a developer that kind of fell off the spectrum. They're back on the spectrum, so possibly the die property might get developed. I know I gave Mike's water pipe all the way for the Dye property to another property, but it all needs it, and it'll all be used. So that's all I've got.
Question to Chip.
Question marks.
Yes.
We're big question marks.
As with most things, it's question marks. Matt.
The guys tore up the concrete on the way down to the four main diamonds. We had a leak last year right before we were getting ready to shut everything down, so they're in the process of fixing that so we can get everything turned back on. We got the pickleball nets out first of the week at the Aquatic Center, and the basketball courts there are open and seen many people playing this week already. And we'll have bases out on the baseball fields by the end of March because practice starts March 27th. Mm. So.
Around the corner. Question to Matt. Thank you. Terry.
The door controllers are installed at the jail. We now have control of the two main doors in the front end of the building on our system that we use here. I worked with SOS over the weekend to get new circuits installed in our firewall, so we only had an outage, probably less than 30 minutes, which that went well.
Good.
I'm working with Sean and Matt on plans for installing a gas pump out at the Morrison's Park. And I'm in the process of building a new NVR, which is a recording device for our security cameras.
Okay. Question to Terry. Thank you. Kelly.
Been doing some patching on the streets, and alleys are pretty bad. We're doing some hand patching for now until it dries up a little bit more so we can get in there and do some grading.
Good luck on it drying up.
Yeah, I know. I was going to try to grade today or yesterday, but then with the rain coming, didn't want it to turn into a slop fest, so we're going to hold out. Been running the sweeper as much as we can and plan on trying to have someone come in early and maybe get uptown around the businesses and get that swept early in the morning, one of these, maybe next week if the weather holds out. Start getting sold in to fulfill our contract for the season. Mm-hmm. Had 800 ton on order, and we got 670 in. So hopefully we can get the rest of that in tomorrow.
Yep. Have you filled the big barn then?
It's getting close.
Okay.
I mean, that we got another 130 ton, and I yep. think it's going to be close. We'll have a little room left, but
hopefully we won't have to use any more this year.
Yeah, I hear you. And then Sean asked if we could help his department cut trees next week. I think that's on the agenda.
First of all, it's not my department.
Yes.
You're helping Chip his department.
There you go.
So is Kelly.
It's going like
every year. Every year.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I got a great team.
Yeah.
So, that's it.
Questions to Kelly?
I thought they all quit.
Thank you. GP.
Okay, Officer Blocker and Officer Didion are down to 6 weeks after this week. April 24th is their graduation day, so I'm sure they're getting pretty excited about that, and so are we, so welcome them back. And that'll be about the same time that Officer Jansen and Bedwell are released through FTO, so we'll have some extra road coverage there. And then while those guys are through training, then once they're done through their FTO, Bedwell and Jansen will go off to the academy. So should see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel here,
yep.
so that's good. Did a national tornado siren testing today. All six of ours are working. However, the one at Denzel Drive has low audio and turn slow, which is typically a battery issue, and so we got batteries on order for that.
Okay.
I know J&K was out there today and checked it, and they said it is low voltage. So,
is that one of the old ones, or is that a new one?
That's an old one.
Of course it is. Okay.
Yeah. So that's why we were hoping it wasn't that siren itself. So
yeah.
It's a battery issue. I did receive a resignation letter from Officer Campbell. He's going to work in the insurance business with his father. He said that public safety is not what he sees his long-term career path being. So he said, I tried to stick it out and I thought about it, but you know, I did some soul searching and it's just not for me. Mm-hmm. So good luck to him. Wish him well. So I guess I'll ask for permission to replace him at some point here.
Yeah. So how many are you down right now?
He will put me down three.
Down three.
But like I said, Garmin will be back too, which he's already been through FTO, so we just got to make sure that he's good, which is because I got three at the academy.
Well, okay. So how many slots do you have to fill?
Three.
For people that we don't have on our
three.
Three. Okay.
Yep.
So three. So we but okay for him to try to start working for
you.
Absolutely. Yep. Yep.
But the guys are still excited because we're going to have some help covering the road. So
I bet they are.
It's going to work out. Other than that, just day-to-day operations. And with the weather changes, it got a little bit busy there for a second when it got a little bit of warm weather. We had a few pursuits. And
people got a little squirrely with the warm weather,
that's
huh?
That's right. That's right.
Any questions for the eternal optimist over there? Okay, thank you. Mike?
I've heard me mention been working on your ammonia problem. Have a small contract not to exceed one with Donahue. We have sent them some data, and we'll be sending more data. They're going to go through and see if they can't come up with something to help improve our nitrification process. Our facility was designed approximately 20 years ago, and that's what they designed on those 20 years. So I'm going to look at that to see if that is part of the issue, that the strength that's coming in, we just can't handle it, or for something that we can do to modify the process a little bit. So we got them working on that. Fruit Dream has also had some sampling in with the contract lab for nitrates and nitrites. See if we can find something there that might be causing an issue. They start cleaning the UV structure in the EQ basin, getting ready for spring. Chemicals for the EQ basin are on order. They will be delivered on the 26th. And first quarter inspections on the ARVs for the steel dynamics force main started this week. So.
Question to Mike. Thank you. Thomas.
You'll find in your packets over the next 2 weeks before the next meeting. Toby spearheaded a project to research the 800 radios. Those findings will be in your packets over the next 2 weeks. If you come across something, you have questions, be happy to field those questions for you. And then he'll be presenting that at the next meeting, next Board of Works and Council meeting. So 101 is still awaiting for repairs. The coolant and oil leaks, we do realize they're minor leaks. major things keep popping up in front of Adam, we kind of get pushed back. So I get it. It's not anything to really worry about, though. Breathing air compressors, they did get that computer in and installed it, and the compressor is working, so we unplugged it so that it don't break again. That compressor was put on, it's called Shop Garage on the internet. It's a fire department, eBay, so to speak. The mayor was emailed a copy of that advertisement, so was Leslie. And then all we found out through that website that all the financials will run through Leslie, so there's absolutely zero question about the financials on that. So we were glad it sets up that way. Kyle Francis started a fire officer strategy and tactics class. It's one of the prerequisites that you have to have. And it's a certified class. You have to get permission through the state and all that to put on. It's one of the prerequisites before you become a fire officer one, which is going to be needed here in the next few years as some of our senior firefighters retire. So let's get some of our newer guys up and going so that they have the training to take over. And other than that, I
learned. Question to Tom. Lily, you want to introduce yourself and talk about the youth council?
I'm Lily. I'm on youth council. And so at our last meeting, we talked about city updates, and we're trying to plan a pickleball tournament that helps out. I think we're planning on donating all of the proceeds to BABE. We are planning on doing an entry fee. So we're working on getting businesses to donate something for like a prize basket. So we're still working on that. And then we did help out BABE with putting together stuff and kind of helping fill their inventory and put things back where they need to be at their building. And then we talked with the superintendent and the school board, and we got to kind of listen to what the new superintendent and his plans for the future. And that's about it.
Thank you. Questions of Lily? Thank you. Marcia?
Nothing.
Sal?
Nothing.
Welcome, by
Happy
the way.
Uh-huh,
I'm sure. A couple of things for your information. Obviously, my State of the City address is this Friday, hosted by the Whitley County Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center at the library. So excited about that. Had a lot of meetings. I am heading to D.C., actually on Friday evening. I have a National League of Cities conference out there, so I will be back probably Wednesday night, just so you're aware. I will have full communication with my cell phone and email and all that kind of stuff. But Dana told them that if there's any emergency, then you're on board, buddy.
All right.
It's all yours. So I don't think we have trigger-treating while I'm gone, though, so you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah,
so.
That was interesting.
No, I don't want. We have a lot of things happening. Again, as mentioned, multiple different developments that are kind of on the verge of popping, which is a really, really great thing. Today, this morning, I got to spend time out at Northern Heights Elementary interviewing different fourth graders, one of those, for JA BizTown. And I got to interview three individuals who wanted to be mayor of JA BizTown, which was really enjoyable. All three ladies could easily do my job, I think. So in any case, that's what I have at the moment. Dan?
I have nothing.
Okay. Lisa?
I also have nothing.
Anything from the audience? Yes. Joanne, come on up.
So I just wanted to thank everybody for their 18 years of assisting with the Veterans Marathon. Sam and I have decided that we're going to halt that race and any of the races that coincide with Veterans Marathon. But the city has been extremely welcoming to all of our visitors and helpful, from sweeping the streets at last minute, putting their flags up, painting the big one out in front of City Hall. You know, one time we had bleachers from the Parks Department, or barricades, and of course Gary and all his help, and all those hundreds of cones that he puts out in the woods, and just everybody is it was a good run. You know, we brought people in from all 50 states. And Sam and I, since 2020, when Sam and I took the race back over from Three Rivers running, and we instigated the giving back to the local veterans group or the local hero, we've given back over $50,000 to our community. So I think that's a good number.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So,
but
yeah.
The Memorial Day, 1 mile, and the veterans is, will not be happening this year.
Okay.
We've been donating. I'm trying to clean out my back room. So we've donated a lot to the high school. They're taking our finish line, and I think they're going to make a permanent finish line out there for the cross-country course. Okay. That implement the 80-20 helped us with. A lot of water coolers, a lot of directional and aero signs went to other race directors. So we're trying to empty extra soup bowls and spoons and hand sanitizer. All went to Kelly's crew to help them feed and help with the homeless. So we're trying to disperse it to people who can use it.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I just want to say thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you. On behalf of the city, Joanne, you know, you and Gary and Sam and your whole crew, I mean, this has been... It's been a cool event, and while I'm sad to see it go, I know how hard it was to put on each and every year, and I know the dedication that you all put into it to make it not only a great event for Columbia City, but really a world-class event where it brought in individuals from other countries to our community. And so I think that's a really big deal and shouldn't be missed that you guys have put so much effort into it. And so I'm sure it's bittersweet in a lot of ways, but I do want to just thank you and your family for all the things that you've done for downtown and specifically with the Veterans Marathon, the Memorial Mile, all those things. Again, I think they'll be sorely missed by people, but I totally understand and thank you for your contribution. So thank you.
Thank you.
Anything else from the audience? No. Yes.
One last thing.
Yes.
Ed came in and kind of reminded me of it. With this kind of, and today was, we tested all the tornadoes because it's the
National Severe Weather, whatever. Yeah. Yes.
Kind of a
whatever Ed does. That's
Indiana statewide.
There you go, statewide. There you go, testing. Yes.
And we have storms coming in this evening. Just a reminder to people: if we do have an event, which we hope we don't, to go to the lowest level with a room that has no windows.
Yes.
So just kind of a reminder.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, well, with that, we will call the meeting adjourned. Thank you.